Ladies and gentlemen, if I can have your attention, I'll go ahead and introduce our next speaker. If you didn't know, you know, we heard a lot last week about a person who was born into a prestigious and successful family. He went off to elite schools. He built a big business, but he did it by taking advantage of people, exploiting them, and leaving nothing but debris in their wake. So anybody that would try and draw a comparison between that man and the man I'm about to introduce you to would not understand the true nature of the two men. Our next speaker was born in a town called Mount Wolf, named for his family. So some might presume that that meant he started out with some advantages in life. But he went off to Dartmouth for undergrad, the University of London for his master's. He went and got his PhD at MIT. And then instead of doing the wide variety of things he could have done to look out for himself, he went to India for 2 years in the Peace Corps and served others. And then when he came back to his hometown, instead of being handed the family business, his father promptly assigned him to work to drive a forklift in the warehouse of the garage and work behind the counter in one of the family hardware stores. He then later found partners, went to a bank, took out a loan, and grew that business into a thriving and successful business, and then planted himself in the community by giving generously to civic organizations and charitable organizations, and yes, politicians who shared his values. And when you look at his tax returns and his political giving, you think it must be a typo at first. But in 2008, he decided he wanted to continue in public service. So he sold his business, went to work in the Rendell administration as Secretary of Revenue, and was contemplating a run for governor in 2010. He had the money he made from selling the business safely invested in other places. And when the housing market crashed, he got a call from his investors who had bought the company. And they said, "We wanted to tell you, Mr. Wolf." No, they wouldn't have called him Mr. Wolf. Unlike the people in the Trump organization, they would have called him Tom. And they said, "Tom, we wanted to let you know the company is on the verge of bankruptcy. We're going to have to lay off the employees and we're going to have to declare bankruptcy." And Tom said, "Hold up a minute." So we went and put a deal together and bought the company back. Now, that may seem trivial to you until you understand that this was in the midst of a housing crisis and the business he was in was manufacturing cabinets that go into new home construction. He could have done nothing. He could have let the company close. His money was safely somewhere else, but he wouldn't do that to his employees. He wouldn't do that to his community. So he went back and bought the company back. And he brought it back stronger and better than ever. He did it by sharing the new prosperity of the company with his employees with a profit-sharing plan. So in 2013, when Tom Wolf was an asterisk in the polls, we had the privilege of being a part of his campaign team. And one of the first assignments we got was to go to York, Pennsylvania and interview people that knew Tom Wolf. And we interviewed civic leaders, people of high standing. We interviewed people who were just active in the community. We interviewed forklift operators in the company, and they all called him Tom, and they all told you what a great guy he was, and they all told you how committed he was to the good of others, and how generous he was with his time, and yes, with his money. About a day and a half into this project, I called Stacy. How many of you have seen the movie It's a Wonderful Life? I called Stacy about halfway through interviewing all these people, and I said, "Going to York, Pennsylvania and interviewing people about Tom Wolf must be what it's like to go to Bedford Falls and ask people about George Bailey." It was remarkable to hear the views these people had of Tom. So in November of 2014, it was a surprise to everyone in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, except the people who knew Tom Wolf, when he was overwhelmingly elected the governor of the seventh largest state in our country. Ladies and gentlemen, Governor Tom Wolf.
Thank you very much. I mean, I think the campaign was really good, and I think I did have a good story. But that guy really told it well. And I think that was really an important thing. So your chairman, Roy, thank you very much for that introduction. Thank you for everything you did. I was the only, obviously I'm not speaking over there. I was the only Democratic pickup in 2014 for a governor's race. Every other, I mean, as you know, that was not a good year for Democrats. It was a good year for Republicans. Senator Sanders was over there just a minute ago, and he said, you know, the Republicans actually didn't win in 2014. We Democrats lost. We didn't come out to vote. And there are consequences when that happens. I took over a state that was a little bit like Kansas, and for 4 years had been under Republican rule. The state Senate was majority Republican, the state House majority Republican, the governor was Republican. And I know they call themselves the party of business. I know they call themselves the party of whatever, but Pennsylvania was in really, really bad shape. There are consequences if we don't elect the right people to office, to higher office. And so for the last 2 years, a year and a half, I've been working hard to try to overcome some of the things, as many as I can, the things that I was left with. And so I've been able to do some things. With an overwhelmingly Republican House and an overwhelmingly Republican Senate, I was able to get historic funding for education at all levels. Early childhood education, basic education, special education, higher education. I was able to do that. I was able to actually... Because if you want a fair society, that's the kind of investment you have to make. I was able to expand Medicaid. We now have 650,000 people in Pennsylvania who have health insurance who did not have it before in 1.5 years. I have established an executive order outlawing discrimination for reasons of sexual orientation, gender identity in Pennsylvania. And I have an executive order to raise the minimum wage for everybody working in the state, which was a symbolic gesture because we're well above that, but for everybody doing contracting with the state and the people working for them. They have to reach a certain minimum wage in order to do business with the state. I was able to do that. There is more work to do. We need minimum wage legislation that's going to pass the House and the Senate. We need to have a non-discrimination bill that passes the House and the Senate. And to do that, we all need to work in Pennsylvania, as you need to work in Missouri, to make sure that you have Democrats, you have the right people in the House, in the Senate, and in the governor's seat. That's how we're going to get to an equitable and fair society. We're the party to do it. We're the people to do it. And let me just give you one illustration of that. This convention, we're all going to have, and we have had, a robust and constructive debate and arguments. We're Democrats, about what the right level for the minimum wage should be, right? And we're going to leave here with people disagreeing over exactly how high that minimum wage level ought to be. There is no one in this party, I'll guarantee you, I don't think there's anyone, who disagrees with the proposition that we need to raise the minimum wage. $7.25 is unacceptable. But we will have disagreement leaving here as to whether we have come up with the right level. I get that. But let me point out one simple fact. The folks who were in Cleveland last week, they didn't mention minimum wage. They don't believe there's any problem with the minimum wage where it is. And that's a major difference. So as we go into November, we need to recognize that we are a Democratic Party. We argue. We have great fundamental disagreements about where we ought to be, but at the end of the day, we're going to do a better job, any Democrat, and Hillary Clinton's going to do a better job than Donald Trump is going to do, and that's the choice we're going to have this country in November. So thank you for doing what you're doing, being involved, being engaged. We need to get more people involved in this political system. The turnout, as Senator Sanders keeps saying, is too low. We have got to get to a better rate of turnout, more people doing what you do, getting involved, being involved, making our government better, fairer for everybody, not just the 1%. That's what we're about. Let's go to November and let's win this election. Thank you very much. Yeah.